There are various pressure points which are affecting our freedoms, and in my opinion, attacking our freedoms. One is the recent Supreme Court case in Maryland versus King, where the Supreme Court upheld the right of people to forcibly take DNA from inside your body, initially with a swab or whatever. Why this is important is because we've entered the age of what I call body probing of different body parts and the total loss of bodily integrity. It seems that the prevailing view among government agents, police forces, and when I talk about police force, I'm talking about the CIA, local police, FBI, they all look very similar now, especially with their black uniforms when they're doing so-called SWAT team raids. The prevailing view seems to be that they can do anything they want to our bodies, strip searches, probe us, or whatever. And again, a highlight here is the recent Supreme Court case of Maryland versus King. Once again, the Supreme Court has sided with the guardians of the police state over the defenders of individual liberty in determining that DNA samples may be extracted from people arrested for so-called serious crimes. While the court claims to have made its decision based upon concerns of properly identifying criminal suspects upon arrest, what they have actually done is open the door for a nationwide dragnet of suspects targeted via DNA sampling. As you might imagine, the court said so-called serious offenses, but the question is, what isn't a serious offense? Is it resisting arrest if you're not guilty, asking a policeman for a warrant? And believe it or not, Maryland officials where this case is taking place have already said they're going to move for lesser offenses. In other words, if you're arrested maybe for running a stop sign and talking back to a policeman, your DNA sample is going to be taken. What the Supreme Court said in this case is that DNA is really crucial in identifying suspects upon arrest. Well, this information in this particular case was not used to identify the so-called accused one, but rather set in a police file, then in a crime lab, before finally being tested some 4 months later. In the meantime, the so-called suspect was positively identified via fingerprinting and other methods. The only glimmer of hope in this case was a very strong dissent from Justice Antonin Scalia. In fact, Scalia wasted no time in dispatching the court's dubious claim that DNA is necessary for suspect identification. Scalia was joined in his biting dissent by the three female justices on the court. As they pointed out, Maryland took actually a full 3 months to test King's DNA before handing the DNA over to the FBI to be matched against a database of unsolved crimes. That is, crimes in which the suspect has not been identified. Clearly, the state's intention was not to identify the suspect in this case, but to potentially implicate him in a crime other than one for which he was accused. What this disheartening ruling shows is the total demise of our Fourth Amendment right against unreasonable searches and seizures. Read the Fourth Amendment. It says very clearly that we are to be secure in our persons, papers, and effects. The word persons is key there. The founding fathers wanted to protect us from bodily probing, policemen touching us unless they had probable cause that we were up to something illegal. Unfortunately, this is a long line of cases recently handed down by the Supreme Court which are eviscerating our Fourth Amendment rights. The court says it's okay for police officers to use excessive force as long as they don't know that the Constitution prohibits them from doing so. In a recent case, the court in Brooks versus the City of Seattle, in which police officers who clearly used excessive force when they repeatedly tasered a pregnant woman during a routine traffic stop were granted immunity from prosecution. Supposedly, in an effort to make life easier for overworked jail officials, they can strip search anyone brought in under any pretext, even so-called minor crimes. This is the case of Florence versus Burlington, in which the Supreme Court says that Americans can now be subjected to virtual strip searches by police or jail officials, which involves exposing the genitals and buttocks of the so-called suspect for very minor crimes. To top it off, several years ago, the Supreme Court in an 8-1 decision in Kentucky versus King says if the SWAT team or police arrive at the wrong door, they get the wrong address sometimes, and they're there, they have no search warrant, and they think the person inside is committing a crime, they can go in anyway. This is without a search warrant, a SWAT team. Our DNA is amazing stuff. It's a total mapping of our body. It shows all kinds of things. As technology increases, it's going to be able to identify so-called aggressive behaviors, which a lot of government officials don't like. Aggressive behaviors of people like Thomas Paine and Thomas Jefferson, James Madison, who were opposed to these kind of things. Certainly what I'm afraid of is, as I write in my new book, A Government of Wolves, we're moving into what I call a pre-crime era. DNA, I believe, eventually will be used to identify individuals before they commit crime, much like in the movie Minority Report. Ladies and gentlemen, fiction has become fact.